Beyond the badge scan, the truth about event ROI. Why vanity metrics are holding your event strategy back and what to measure instead. Introduction. Let me guess, your last event success was measured by badge scans, booth visits, and a packed room during the keynote. Your CMO was thrilled. Your CEO nodded approvingly at the deck. And you? You had that nagging feeling that something was off. After 20 years working the floors of hundreds of events, from intimate executive roundtables to sprawling trade shows with thousands of attendees, I've seen this scene play out more times than I can count. The celebratory debrief meetings where everyone pats themselves on the back for hitting attendance targets. The polished reports showcasing impressive-looking numbers. The collective sigh of relief that we pulled it off once again. Here's what I've learned. We've been measuring the wrong things. It's not just a minor miscalculation. We've built entire event strategies, justified massive budgets, and shaped our professional reputations around metrics that look spectacular in PowerPoint but tell us absolutely nothing about whether we're actually moving the needle for our business. I've sat through countless strategy sessions, and yes, strategy gets thrown around in our industry like it's going out of style, where teams debate booth placement, swag, choices, and session formats. All important, sure. How often does someone stop the conversation and ask, what business outcome are we trying to drive and how will we know if we've achieved it? Not often enough. The problem isn't that event professionals don't care about results. It's that we've been handed a playbook written for a different era, one where attendance equaled success. And a full pipeline meant you'd done your job. We've inherited measurement frameworks that were never designed to prove business impact, and we've been too busy executing flawlessly to question whether we're measuring what actually matters. What you'll find here: this book exists because I got tired of watching talented event professionals chase vanity metrics while the truly important data, the kind that proves your worth, protects your budget, and demonstrates genuine business impact, gets ignored or dismissed as too complicated to track. This is the first in a series where I'm pulling back the curtain on events, not the sanitized version you see in industry case studies or vendor white papers, but the real story. The mistakes I've witnessed made repeatedly across companies of every size, the vanity traps that even seasoned professionals fall into, myself included, and most importantly, what you should actually be tracking if you want to demonstrate meaningful impact. I've broken everything down into digestible, actionable chunks with real-world examples and practical templates you can implement immediately. No theoretical frameworks that look good on paper but fall apart in practice. No consultant speak that requires a decoder ring. Just straight talk about what works, what doesn't, and how to fix your measurement approach before your next event. Think of this as your playbook, the one you keep on your desk and pull out before every event planning session, every budget meeting, and every time someone suggests measuring success by how many business cards you collected or leads you captured. Let's fix this together. Part 1, The Vanity Trap. Chapter 1, The Comfort of the Countable. Every event team at some point has felt that rush of pride when the numbers come in. Booth visitors, badge scans, social impressions, big, shiny numbers that say, you did something. The problem? Most of the time, those numbers don't say what you did or why it mattered. We've all been conditioned to love things we can count. They make us feel safe, measurable, defensible, reportable. In the pressure cooker of corporate events, where every spend must be justified and every PowerPoint slide needs evidence, countable equals credible. Not everything that counts can be counted, and not everything that's counted really counts. In one global tech conference, a client proudly presented record-breaking engagement numbers: over 5,000 booth visits and 1,200 badge scans. Yet when I compared those numbers to the CRM, just 7 new opportunities had emerged. 7 out of thousands of interactions. That's less than 0.6%. The event looked successful. The data felt successful. But in commercial terms, it wasn't. I call this the comfort of the countable, the tendency to prioritize metrics that feel rewarding over those that reveal reality. It's understandable, data is how we prove our worth, but it's also how we hide from accountability. The most dangerous metrics aren't the ones we ignore, they're the ones we celebrate. Without question, the psychology behind the numbers. There's a reason why vanity metrics persist across industries, sectors, and company sizes. They tap into something fundamental about how humans process success. We're pattern-seeking creatures who crave validation. In a world of ambiguity, numbers provide the illusion of certainty. A dashboard full of upward-trending graphs releases dopamine. It makes us feel productive, strategic, valued. Productivity theater isn't the same as progress. The reality is that most event teams aren't measuring what matters because they've never been taught how to measure what matters. Business schools teach marketing mix, models, and customer acquisition costs, but rarely do they address the murky middle ground of experiential marketing ROI, where intangible brand perception meets tangible pipeline impact. So we default to what's easy: footfall, scans, and shares. These metrics are universally understood, require minimal interpretation, and rarely invite uncomfortable questions. Unfortunately, they're also the metrics that let mediocre events masquerade as successful ones. Chapter 2, How We Got Here. To understand how vanity metrics became the default, we need to look at two things: corporate psychology and technological convenience. 1. The psychology of validation. Leaders crave affirmation. Stakeholders want proof their investment was worthwhile. So we build dashboards to tell them they were right. In the absence of a clear ROI story, volume-based numbers became the substitute. Big numbers equal big impact, or so we told ourselves. Over time, it created a reporting culture obsessed with surface-level success. It's a cycle of reassurance. We deliver a flashy event. We gather large but meaningless data. We present it upward. We get praise. We repeat it next year. Every step reinforces the illusion that busy equals effective. The problem compounds when leadership teams lack event expertise. A CFO who's never planned a congress can't easily distinguish between a meaningful metric and a vanity one. They rely on volume as a proxy for value because it's the only language that translates across departments. The cycle perpetuates. Event teams report what leadership understands, not what leadership needs to know. 2. The rise of easy metrics. Technology accelerated the problem. Event platforms, scanning tools, and social dashboards made it effortless to gather
data and data.
With a few clicks, we can produce charts, graphs, and colorful slides that look strategic even when they're not. One senior marketing VP once admitted to me, "I don't even know what half these metrics mean, but they look good on the quarterly report." Ease replaced insight and volume replaced value. Somewhere along the way, we stopped asking the most important question: what's the real outcome we're trying to achieve? The irony is that we have more data than ever before, yet less clarity about what actually drives business results. We're drinking from a fire hose of metrics but starving for meaning. 3. The institutionalization of mediocrity. Perhaps the most insidious aspect of vanity metrics is how they become embedded in corporate structures. Reporting templates are designed around them. KPIs are built on them. Annual reviews reference them. Entire event strategies are justified by them. Once vanity metrics become institutionalized, challenging them feels like career suicide. Who wants to be the person who says, "Actually, our event wasn't that successful," when everyone else is celebrating? This creates what organizational psychologists call pluralistic ignorance, a situation where everyone privately doubts the metrics, but no one speaks up because they assume everyone else believes in them. It's the corporate equivalent of the emperor's new clothes, and it's costing companies
million.
Chapter 3, The Cost of Illusion. Vanity metrics don't just waste time. They waste money, misalign teams, and distort decision-making. In one life sciences company I worked with, an entire 400,000-pound annual event budget, was justified on audience reach. The team's success metric? 10% growth in booth. Traffic. They hit it. Traffic was up 12%. But the number of qualified healthcare professionals they reached was down by 18%. Why? Because the booth had been redesigned for spectacle, not conversation. It was the perfect example of optics over outcomes, and it led to a quiet but significant internal reckoning. The real cost wasn't financial. It was strategic. The team spent 6 months chasing leads that were never going to convert, delaying progress on other channels that might have. The illusion of success can be just as damaging as failure. When you celebrate the wrong things, you double down on the wrong behaviors. The opportunity cost crisis. Let's talk about what doesn't get measured. Opportunity cost. Every hour spent designing a booth for maximum footfall is an hour not spent designing meaningful attendee experiences. Every pound allocated to a flashy activation is a pound not invested in pre-event relationship building or post-event nurturing. When vanity metrics drive strategy, they don't just waste resources, they actively prevent better alternatives from being considered. I worked with a pharmaceutical client who spent £180,000 on a celebrity speaker to drive attendance. Attendance did increase by 300 people, but post-event analysis revealed that none of those 300 were decision makers in their target segment. They were early career professionals attracted by the celebrity, not the content. Meanwhile, a smaller satellite session with 40 attendees, all senior clinicians, generated 18 qualified opportunities worth an eye-watering amount in potential revenue. The celebrity session got the applause. The satellite session got the results. Guess which one was featured in the board presentation? The cultural damage. Perhaps the most underestimated cost of vanity metrics is what they do to team culture. When success is defined by meaningless numbers, high performers become disillusioned. They know the difference between theater and impact. They see through the facade, and eventually they leave. Meanwhile, those who thrive are the ones who excel at optics management, not strategic thinking. Over time, this creates a culture where looking good matters more than doing good, where polish trumps performance, where the loudest voices win, regardless of whether they're saying anything meaningful. We've watched talented event professionals burn out, not from overwork, but from the cognitive dissonance of knowing their successful events aren't actually successful. That's the hidden cost no one talks about, the slow erosion of morale that comes from living in a world of perpetual performance art, the stakeholder trust deficit. There's one more cost worth examining: the gradual loss of credibility with senior stakeholders. Leaders aren't stupid. They might not understand the nuances of event marketing, but they understand business impact. When event teams consistently report glowing metrics that never quite translate into pipeline growth or market share gains, trust erodes. First, it's subtle. Leadership stops asking for input on strategic decisions. Event budgets get scrutinized more heavily. The team's seat at the table becomes less secure. Eventually, events are seen as a nice to have rather than a strategic imperative, not because events don't work, but because the team lost credibility by measuring the wrong things. This is perhaps the most tragic consequence of all.